Hi, welcome to Visual Studio Toolbox. I'm your host, Robert Green. Joining me today is Mads Christensen. Hey, Mads.
Hello.
Long time.
It has been, yeah.
Yes, too long.
It's great to be back.
So every time you come on the show, you show us some awesome extensions that you've been building. You continue to build them. And since the last time you were here, I suspect you've written two or three most excellent ones.
Yeah, I think probably 10 or so, probably, in the meantime, yeah.
So show us what you got.
I got various different ones, and okay. So normally I work on the Visual Studio web team, so we kind of concentrate on web development.
Yep.
But I have a lot of extensions that sort of is for everyone.
Cool. Right?
So they're not specific to web, and I want to start with those, and then we're going to move into some of the web-specific
All right.
extensions.
Awesome.
And by web, you know, building a Cordova app or Universal Windows app or something like that uses web technologies, JavaScript, CSS, HTML. So
right.
that the same. Extensions apply to those kind of yep. projects, right?
Cool.
So the first one I have is one that's called Open Command Line. It's not new, but I've been working on it continuously, and there's some new features there. And it's very, very simple. It's basically solving the problem of I want to open a command line at my project level
mm-hmm.
to run MS Build or work with Git. You know, TFS or whatever command line things I want to use. And normally you have to kind of, you know, open the command line and manually CD your way to
yeah.
the right directory and all that. So what I've done here is added a right-click menu down here called Open Command Line. Let me just zoom in here a bit. Open Command Line. And it gives you the option of opening whatever the default is for you. So you can set this up to what you want.
Mm-hmm.
You can open Developer Command Prompt or PowerShell. And so just by clicking that, we'll open, in my case, Commander. I mm. prefer that command line. And it opens
okay.
it to my project root.
Cool.
Right, that's really, really nice. So I could have right-clicked the solution, and it would have opened on the solution level. So just really, really nice. And of course, there are keyboard shortcuts, Alt-Space, so it's really nice.
Excellent.
And you can actually modify this. So if we look at the settings, you can specify, zoom out here a little bit, like what your preset is. What should your custom default command line be? And I have some here you can choose from, or you can do your own custom thing.
Are those ones that you've added, or is it looking on your machine to what you have installed?
It's looking for GitHub console. If you have that, then
okay.
it'll show it like we have it right here.
Okay.
But you can write anything you want. So any executable,
mm-hmm.
as you can see right here, it could be anything.
Okay.
So that will be custom. So that will, whenever you hit Alt space, it's your custom thing that opens up, right? So it supports anything that you might have. And you can also open, if you want to open directly into PowerShell, there's a keyboard shortcut for that. Or so that's Shift-Alt-Dot or Shift-Alt-Comma opens you into the developer command prompt.
Okay, cool.
All right? So it's just really, really handy. And so one of the things I added to that was syntax highlighting for batch files, so CMD or bat files. Just because it wasn't there. And I was using a lot of CMD files, and
mm-hmm.
I was like, yeah, I need this. And I think actually it gives you IntelliSense as well for, let's see here, for, yeah, here we go.
Oh, nice.
For all the built-in, not built-in, all your environment variables,
mm-hmm.
and all variables that you declare in this file show up here. But it also shows you what the value of that is,
oh,
of
right.
that environment variable. So that's really, really handy.
Mm-hmm.
Just a little trick. And so what's really cool is I can execute this file right here. So I can just right click it and say execute file. And it prints out here at the top Visual Studio Toolbox.
Uh-huh.
Right? So while I'm editing my file, Shift Alt 5 executes it.
Nice.
So that's just really a nice workflow to
have. So how hard was that to build?
That was very easy. Syntax highlighting. You need to have a list of all the keywords
mm-hmm.
and stuff like that. So that's actually what takes time. And the rest of that is sort of regex or however you want to figure out what is a keyword in the document and stuff
okay.
like that. It's not that big a deal. It's all on GitHub, so if you want to go take a look at the source code, it's all up
yeah.
there.
Yeah, okay.
So again, this is called Open Command Line. I use it every day. It's like
right,
I can't live without
part
it.
Part of what this series on extensions is meant to do is to give people the idea that they can write extensions. Obviously, there are a lot of extensions that are very detailed and very complicated to write. Mm-hmm. And the more you do, right, the more complicated it gets. But right. you can write little utilities like this, which is, you know, what you do all the time.
Right.
And we're, you know, trying to make the point that it's probably not anywhere near as hard as you think it is.
Right. It is definitely not.
I'm not saying it's easy, but well, it's not as hard as you think it is.
I would say there's a learning curve, and with the
always,
every new version of Visual Studio coming out, it gets easier and easier.
Right.
So they keep improving it. And so right now, the barrier of entry, it's going to take you maybe a day or so, mm-hmm. full time maybe, to familiarize yourself with the model. But after that, it's you're good to go.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So we'll have pointers to each of these extensions as well as the source code for people to go take a look.
Right. So this will execute. So the execute command here will work for CMD and BAT files, but mm-hmm. also for PowerShell files. And I'm debating whether or not I should do it for JavaScript files, like execute them using Node, mm-hmm. since Node, we shipped Node in Visual Studio 2015.
Right.
So you don't even have to have Node installed to actually execute a JavaScript file. So that could also potentially be dangerous. So I'm not sure what I, you know, but yeah, so I might add that.
All right.
Yeah. So this is really great for, you know, running, developing, and working with the command line. But sometimes you have a project or a solution that has multiple command files, right? Batch mm-hmm. files. You use them for building, you use them for all sorts of utilities. And so keeping track on them, some of them you have in the solution folders, like I have here, right? I have it in solution folder. Some might live in the individual projects in my solution and so on. Mm-hmm. So how do you execute? Well, now we saw it was easy to sort of execute them. But some of them you want to execute when you open the solution,
okay.
right? Some you might want to execute after build or
right.
before build. And so, but you don't necessarily want to modify your CS proj file to do that. So here's what we can do. Here's another extension that lets you, when you right-click here, we can say add to task runner.
Nice.
Okay, mm-hmm. So let's click that. So now it's successfully added to task runner, and we get this file called commands.json. Now the task runner is a window, let's just reload it here, that looks like this. It shows me all the commands that I've got. In this case, I have one called build. Mm-hmm. I can see here that what it does. And that is a direct reflection of what my JSON file says. So I can just execute anything right in here. And you see here, it very fast, Visual Studio Toolbox, it echoed it out. Right? So I can say, I want to run this every time just before the build kicks off. Right? So I can bind this to the before build event. So now when I build, let's just close this, it just ran.
Nice.
I just built my project, and it just ran before MS Build kicked
in. And the cool thing about this is, I mean, it's using Task Runner, and you know, I think I first learned about running tasks in the concept of web.
Right.
But this is not necessarily, I mean, it is a web project, but right, this isn't something that's tied to just web applications.
So far, we haven't touched the project at all, right? This
yeah.
is just the solution items, right? So it could be any project.
Cool.
It doesn't matter what the project is.
Yep.
So, but the cool thing is, because if we look at what actually goes into that file, it's a list of tasks, right? We have a task here called build, mm-hmm. and I can just have multiple of these. But if I just want to do one-line things like copy files or maybe just one-liners, I don't have to have a CMD file or a PS1 file. I can just write it right here in arguments,
yep.
like write, you know, copy from one folder to another or whatever.
Yep.
And execute it on build or whatever I want.
Cool.
And of course, you get like full IntelliSense for all this stuff, right? So here you see here. Tells you, hover tooltip here explains what all these different things are. You get the bindings down here and see what can we bind these events to. Of course, you get IntelliSense for what are the different events that you've got
yeah.
lined up,
sweet.
Right? So it's sort of, what I like about this is that it ties together so many different APIs of Visual Studio,
mm-hmm.
Like JSON IntelliSense, Task Runner Explorer, right-click menus, and so on.
Right.
So it's very easy to build this sort of stuff, and it's very fun, and you can make it really awesome when you use all these different APIs, right? So I really like that. All right. So these are sort of general purpose,
okay.
right? They're not tied to web. So let's look at some web things.
Right.
Let me just close this off here. So here's a web project. It's very empty. And I want to add a file. Again, this is actually a not a web-specific thing I'm going to show here. So I forgot about that. So I want to add a file. How do you add a file to an existing project? Well, you right-click and say...
You right-click, add item.
Where is it? Add.
You hope that it shows up automatically.
It's not there.
But when
it doesn't, then you got to go searching through and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, you know, you want, you know, whatever
it
might be,
that
right?
You can search, yep.
So, and sometimes you just want just a single file, like empty, just text, right? It doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
So I can just, well, in here, so add new empty file, or simply just Shift F2 wherever I am in Solution Explorer. Shift F2, and it allows me to add any file I want. Right? So it even supports folders. So I can create folders like this. I can say, I want to create a folder called less. And inside that, I want variables.less. So a less file is a superset of CSS,
mm-hmm.
right, that compiles into CSS. So let's look at that. So let's create this file. See, it's created immediately.
Ooh, so as long as you choose an extension that Visual Studio understands, it knows what to do.
Any extension.
Any extension.
Yeah, or even without extensions.
Oh, okay.
Or file names that starts with a dot that normally you can't do in Visual Studio.
Oh, I see. Okay. Right?
It's all supported and super fast.
So you can put any, literally any file at all.
Yep.
Okay.
So let's write some less. I'm going to declare a variable called color. Make it blue. Okay. And then I'm going to add another file that I want to live next to my variables.less. So because my variables.less is open mm-hmm. and my focus in the is in the editor, I can just hit, Shift F2, and I can enter site.less. It knows that it needs to go in the same folder,
mm-hmm.
so we have it right here. So let's just import this variables.less right here, and then we can use it. We can set the background to, so you get IntelliSense. The less editor in Visual Studio is really nice.
Yeah.
So you get the color here, we can see the value of it, and save that.
Cool.
So creating files has never been easier, and now I have this less file. So browsers do not understand less. They don't understand what I just did by declaring a variable and using the variable, because that's what less adds on top of CSS. So now I need to take my less and compile it into CSS.
Mm-hmm.
So to do that, I have an extension here called Web Compiler. So it used to be that Web Essentials would automatically compile less files. There were some issues with that. For instance, if I would just save my variables.less, it would mm-hmm. compile it. But it didn't really do anything. Right? It doesn't output anything. It just has variables in it. So that's not what I want. I want to compile only the, in this case, site.less. So I can simply just right-click site.less, go to Web Compiler, and say Compile File, or Shift-Alt-Q. So let me hit that Shift-Alt-Q. You see how fast that was?
Yeah.
And it's already compiled right here.
Now, without the extension, you'd have to do that as a task, and you'd have to set that up and learn some technologies that you ultimately should know, but...
Right. So, Gulp and Grunt
are two frameworks or task runners that people use
that run on Node, so you have to
import
some Node modules.
Mm-hmm.
And in a lot of cases, you don't need that.
It's plumbing. I mean, I understand that, the modern web dev is all mm-hmm. about the let me rephrase that. The modern web dev is heavily about the plumbing and, grunt and gulp and bower and all these command line-y type things.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some of us that might want to take advantage of using less, but not necessarily be ready yet or want to have to learn the underlying plumbing.
Right.
Right? So.
Right. The thing about this is, it's really cool. What's good about Gulp and Grunt is that it works cross-platform.
Yeah.
So if you have a team where you have like some people on Windows, some on Mac, for instance, some on Visual mm-hmm. Studio, some on something else, Gulp and Grunt will work no matter where you are.
Right.
Right. So it still solves that problem, and it solves it rather well, I think. But for some things, you don't need it.
Right.
Right. And so I think a solution
like
this
is kind of
really
ironic
good.
Because, you know, you're in Visual Studio, which is the big fat IDE that does everything for you. And right. then there are, you know, rich text editors like Sublime and Visual Studio Code for people that don't like big fat IDEs. That's kind of the way I talk about it.
Yeah, right.
Yet, if I'm doing web development in Visual Studio, I got to kind of go out to the command line mm-hmm. and do grunt and gulp and stuff like
right.
that.
Right.
And the reason I'm in this big fat IDE is so I don't have to do stuff like that.
Right.
Right?
I agree. And so this is really nice because I don't have to set up like the watch tasks and all this sort of stuff that you would do with Gulp.
Yeah.
As soon as I make a change, let's change this to one of my favorite colors. Let's see here. Do you know this? Coffee?
Coffee.
Yeah, it's a color. It's already
it's
compiled
blue.
It. It's blue.
Which is interesting.
Right.
Would you drink blue coffee?
But notice here what happened. So it immediately just compiles it right, in the background. I didn't do anything.
Right.
The only thing I have to do is to say, hey, compile this file, Shift-Alt-Q, right, mm-hmm. or right-click and say compile. That's
yep.
all I have to do.
Cool.
And it saves that information, so next time I open the project or whatever and I save my files, it updates.
Yep.
Right? And it also awesome. Gives us this little generated thing down here so that we don't, you know,
little.
By accident
also little.
Open, right? So we don't by accident open this file thinking we should edit in here,
mm-hmm.
right, because this is going to be overwritten next time the less file changes.
Right. Right.
So that's nice. And if we look at, let's make an error here. Let's refer to a color that does not exist. Right, or a variable that mm-hmm. doesn't exist. And I'm going to save this file. You're going to get an error right here. So the error list is built into this flow, just like you would expect.
Yeah.
Whereas grunt and gulp, you have to like monitor some output from a console. Mm-hmm. But here you get everything in Visual Studio like you would expect.
Right.
And so you can just navigate to this, you know, fix the problem, save it. It runs the compiler, done.
Mm-hmm.
So the way that it stores this information is in this file called compilerconfig.json. And it looks like this. So it's an array of objects. So you have one object per file you want to compile.
Mm-hmm.
And less files are supported, SAS, JSX files, for if you want to work with React.js, for instance. CoffeeScript, Ice CoffeeScript.
Mm-hmm.
So it compiles a lot of different things. And you can just specify them here. What is the input file? What is the output file? You can even say, hey, if you don't want the, you see here how it automatically nested the output file under the less file?
Yep.
Let's delete that. Say, hey, you want the output to be in assets/CSS. It doesn't even exist.
Right.
Let's just save that. And immediately it shows
cool.
up and compiles and puts
that is so cool.
the things in the right place.
Mm-hmm.
It has some defaults. And what's really nice here is not tools options where you set what the defaults are. It's per project.
Right.
And so we can go in here and we can see what are the default options for the less compiler. And you can change them here and then that changes the defaults for everyone, for every less file. You can say, what about minification? Should we minify? Let's set this to false. Let's just delete this again. So CSS minification is now off. So now it only produces site.css.
Yep.
Set it to true, and we get the min file, right? So that's cool. And of course, we can override that for an individual file. So I can just go in here, in my compiler configuration file, and see all the different options available. So the minify options, for instance, well, I can see everything here that impacts the CSS minification, right? And override the default settings just for this one file.
Cool.
So that's nice. We can even do fancy stuff, a little bit fancier. So let's say that in my site.less, I'm using animation. All right, and let's just give that whatever value here. Let me just save that. So it looks like that, just like we would expect yep. when it's compiled. But I can, through my compiler settings, do auto prefixing. So I can instruct the compiler that whenever I use some CSS that needs vendor prefixing for older browsers,
okay.
do that. So I can say last two versions, or any browser that has more than 5% usage.
Okay.
Just save this file. And now we have WebKit animation showing up here.
And where is that 5% usage stored?
I think it's coming from caniuse.com.
Okay.
So what's really cool about this extension, it uses the exact same Node.js modules, mm-hmm. packages, that you would use for Gulp and Grunt. Like, it's the official LESS compilers, official CoffeeScript compilers that this is running.
Right.
And that's very important. But it doesn't put node modules in your project. It keeps everything separate. It just have yep. one copy of them that's globally installed somewhere where this extension lives. And that's it. So
cool.
It doesn't interfere with your project at all. So that's kind of nice. We can augment things like that and chain different things together. Mm-hmm. In this case, we're chaining less compilation and auto prefixing.
Yeah, very cool.
Yep. So let's just close out all of this stuff. Now let's say that I want to do, I want to work with React.js.
Okay.
So the way you would do it is that you would install React.js, the JavaScript library itself.
Mm-hmm.
And you could do that with NuGet. The problem with NuGet and a lot of the JavaScript libraries is that they're not up to date on NuGet. Like the React.js team, the people that build React.js, they don't publish to NuGet. They publish to Bower and or NPM, two other package managers, but not to NuGet. So usually some member of the community or someone from my team would take React.js and put it on NuGet.
Mm-hmm.
So it would always be a little behind. And so really what we want to do is probably just use Bower. And how do you use Bower? Now where I'm right here. Well, I have another extension for that. It's called
awesome.
Package Installer. Okay? So Shift-Alt-0, and here's what you get. You get this dialog, and you can see all the package managers that are supported here.
Mm-hmm.
So for NuGet, NPM, and the only place that supports JSPM and TSD, which are also package managers, JSPM is for JavaScript specifically, and TSD is for TypeScript typings, like definitely
right.
type,
mm-hmm.
right? So you get that in here. So that's really great. So it's a way to quickly install a package that you know the name of. So for Bower, React, just type React. What version do I want? Just the latest one. Hit enter. And it's now installing this package installed. So we're just including this in the project. So now we have Bower components. We have React right here. And these are the files that I want,
cool.
right? But what if you don't want Bower components to live in a folder called Bower components.
Mm-hmm.
Like personally, I don't like that. I like to call my folder for lib. That's where I keep my libraries. So we can instruct Bower to put them in libraries. And so for that, let's create a new file. Again, using the add new file extension. And we're going to create a file called BowerRC, .BowerRC. So here I'm creating a file starting with a dot, something that is impossible, in Visual
right.
Studio, unless you have this extension. And it's a JSON file. And of course, you get full IntelliSense. Say the directory should be lib, like that. So now, let's delete this. And let's just right-click the Bower JSON. We can say restore packages. So let's see here. It's done. We now have a lib folder. We can include that. We only have to include nice. It the first time, right?
Right.
And so now that lives
very
here.
Very nice.
So super efficient way of installing packages, NuGet,
mm-hmm.
Bower, NPM, whatever it might be, right?
Cool. Is there searching capability in there, or do you have
yes.
to know the name?
No, there is. So let's do NPM, for instance. Actually, there's a shortcut for switching these, because I invoke this dialog, Shift-Alt-0, and say, I want to install something from, let's say, TSD. So I can just start typing the name, like TSD, so T, and then colon. And it will jump to with that thing,
cool.
right? So in here, I can say, hey, give me jQuery. And I have the list of all the packages right here. So that's super handy. So you do get IntelliSense. You get IntelliSense for the version numbers and
mm-hmm.
all that sort of stuff.
Sweet.
But this is usually when you already know what name
right.
of the package you want.
Right.
It doesn't let you uninstall or manage the packages, right? It just lets you quick install them.
Mm-hmm.
So what I like to do is to have this .bowerrc file. I don't really want to look at it. I want to nest it under Bower JSON. And so how do we do that? Well, we have to open the csproj file and make the .bower.c file dependent on bower.json. Mm-hmm. Or we can use this other little extension called file nesting. Yes. So I right click the file, I can say nest item, and it selects bower.json, which is, you know, I can select what file do I want this to nest under.
So I've run into this before, bringing over like XAML and XAML.cs files. Mm-hmm. And if you just, like, I want to bring five pages into an existing project. You go add existing item, you highlight all of them, it brings all of the XAML files and all of the CS files, but they're not nested. So you got to do them one at a time.
Right.
This would be cool.
Exactly.
All right.
So this is like...
I love it when... One of my favorite moments on the show is when somebody like you shows me something that I've really could have used over the past several years.
This is actually a year or two old, and it's in here somewhere. If I search for nest here, file nesting, here I can see what are the rules that mm-hmm. are enabled here. Enabled or disabled some of these rules, right? So it will automatically nest. So if you add a file, if you have a file called foo.js mm-hmm. and you add foo.min.js, it will automatically nest it. Mm-hmm. Right? So when automatic nesting is on, which is this by default.
Right.
But it doesn't know .bower.rc should go under bower.json. It doesn't mm-hmm. know that. So in that case, we can just right-click and do it ourselves. So that's really nice. Okay, so I was using React, right? So let's create a file. Let's create alert.jsx. So JSX is this new JavaScript thing that React.js is using. JSX is basically a JavaScript file that can contain HTML. And so it's a new type of file. And we have support for that in Visual Studio mm-hmm. 2015. And so that allows me to do something like this. I can create a React component. There we go. Notice here, I just added from, I used the package installer to quickly install the React package, and I get full IntelliSense for React here, just showing up. So create class. Gonna do this. Oh, go. And now I have my React component. So that was easy. Let's just save this. And as soon as I save it, something happened. We get some errors showing up right here. So that's kind of interesting. So what is that? Let's just click one of them. You see we have error codes. So let's click semi. What does that mean? It takes us to a website here, ESLint. So ESLint is a JavaScript linter that also works with JSX files and can make sure that my coding style mm-hmm. and various different things are like done right, basically.
Right.
And I can specify what rules I want, and I can do that per project or per solution. So, which is really great because that just means that everyone in my team is coding against the same coding guidelines and coding standards. Mm-hmm. And so ESLint is one that we ship here in this extension called Web Analyzer. And it will just automatically give me all these errors.
So how far are we from a world where that would show up in a light bulb?
Not far. So this is a relatively new extension that I built. It's been out for just a couple of weeks.
Okay.
And we're actually going to roll this in. So we're already planning for this to go in, hopefully by Visual Studio Update 2.
Okay.
So it'll be in the product. But right now, we're trying to figure out, like, how do we do this? What's the best user experience? And that's why, so a lot of the extensions I built is because I want to get feedback early on while we're thinking about doing these things for the future.
Right.
And so that's a really great
question
thing.
I ask every time you're on, and you know, you just kind of answered it before I asked it. How do you think about why some of these things become extensions as opposed to in the product? When did they get into the product? Mm-hmm. What's the general philosophy around that, and has it changed?
I do a lot of extensions for myself, right? These are not official Microsoft extensions, mm-hmm. right? They're not signed by the Microsoft certificate or anything like that, right? I use them as a tool for two things. One is, I just really want the feature myself. Right? I'm a web developer myself, or a developer. Mm-hmm. You know, I sometimes just, I want a tool for myself.
Right.
And usually, a lot of people would want that same tool, and then they go download my extension, right? So that's one aspect. Another one is, we have an idea that we want to put some new features in Visual Studio, but we don't really know exactly how it's going to work.
Okay.
Both from an implementation point of view, like, should we run this on Node.js, right? And if so, should we spin up a Node.js server in the background that we can communicate to through HTTP, because that's a lot faster than spinning a process for every time you use this and shelling out.
Mm-hmm.
And when the errors come back, how should they look like? What should happen? Do we squiggle? Is there a light bulb? All these things. So they allow me to avoid basically having to write a specification.
Okay.
This is the specification.
Right.
So feedback comes in, keep iterating on it, and at some point, I know exactly that this is good. User feedback has been great and it's useful.
Mm-hmm.
And we just roll it in as it is. Like, not the code itself, but the
right.
But the extension as a specification, right? It's being implemented. And sometimes I don't finish that part, but I know what the missing pieces are. And so when we roll it in, we do it with those missing pieces.
Okay.
Right. So this is one of those things where this is something I wanted to have personally, but it's also something that's going to help me in my work as a program manager
right.
to come up with new features. Yeah. So I can just click this arrow, missing semicolon. That's great. Missing a display name. That's never good. So let's add a display name here. Oh. Yeah, you know, test, whatever. Save that. And now we're back. Now those two errors went away.
Right.
So now we have one left, so I can fix that.
Gratuitous.
If I wanted to. So if we want to fix that last error, we could do it like this. Like so. So what's really cool here, you can manage this yourself. So you go to Tools, and you go to Web Analyzer. You can see here, you can edit these four different linters, is what they're called.
Mm-hmm.
There's four different ones. There's ESLint, that's the one we just used. We have for CSS, for CoffeeScript, and for TypeScript.
Cool.
So that's really nice for TypeScript. You get like code analysis, static code analysis on that, beyond what the compiler does, like stylistics right. things and so on. And so you can just edit that. Edit ESLint, and this actually lives in your user profile, right? But you can take this file, copy it into your project, and make modifications, and then this extension will use that file instead.
Right.
So you're always in control. So that's really nice. And of course, you get full IntelliSense for all of this stuff in this file. And the reason why we get IntelliSense is because the JSON editor in Visual Studio understands or supports schemastore.org,
mm-hmm.
which has over 50 schemas, JSON schemas, for known files. So it knows that when it opens a file called .eslintrc, which is the file we just had opened,
mm-hmm.
the JSON file, it knows to apply the right schema from schemastore. And that drives IntelliSense, validation, all this sort of stuff.
Cool.
Yeah. So that's nice. So that was my Alert.jsx. The thing is, the browser does not understand when I put HTML inside right. JavaScript like this. So I have to compile this to JavaScript. And we saw how that worked, right? We simply just do, see here, Shift-Alt-Q. And now we have our Alert.js. Here's what it looks like, display name test. Change that to Robert, save it, and it now says Robert.
Nice.
Right. So we can compile these things. So the compiler will do the JSX. It will also do ECMAScript 6 using the Babel mm-hmm. Module. So that's something that will compile sort of new JavaScript that's not supported yet by the browsers, right? Like ECMAScript 6 and 7, and compile that back to ECMAScript 5, which the browsers understand.
Okay.
Right, so that's really, really handy. So that's it.
Cool.
Yeah.
Awesome stuff.
Yeah, those are my most the newest ones, I guess. Yeah.
These are all, where can people get these?
So they're all in the Visual Studio Gallery.
Okay.
So visualstudiogallery.com will redirect you to the long Visual Studio yes. Gallery.msdn.microsoft, you know, whatever.
Right.
So I just say visualstudiogallery.com.
Okay.
And if you want to get the nightly builds, so I try to update every 2 weeks,
mm-hmm.
Not more frequent than that, but when I write a new extension, I update a lot more frequently.
Okay.
Just because there's a lot of missing features that I need to get done, right? And I want to get that out there.
Right.
So nightly builds is where you can get the sort of the latest and greatest. And so they're all available on v6gallery.com.
Okay.
So that's my own version of the Visual Studio Gallery, where I put nightly builds. Yep. And you'll find it's not just me using it. It's also other extension authors that use that. So you can find stuff like VS Vim, which is a very popular extension for Visual Studio, also uses that for nightly builds.
And the code's all available? Is that all on
GitHub?
It's
all open source, yeah.
Okay.
So all of this is on github.com/MatsChristensen.
Okay.
But if you go to the either visualstudiogallery.com or v6gallery.com and you find these extensions, there's a link to the open source project.
Okay.
Right. So all this code is available. Feel free to fork it and change it and
do
whatever you want with it.
Use it as a learning tool to understand right. how to write these types of things.
Yep, some of these are super simple.
Yeah.
Really, like open command line is a very, very small little extension. So, I would encourage if you're curious about writing extensions, please take a look at all this. It's all Apache 2.0 licensed, so you can take all the code snippets you want and use them in your own extensions.
Right. Yeah. Very cool.
Yep.
And are these only in 2015? Do they also work in 13 and 12?
The web analyzer and the web compiler are only for 2015.
Okay.
For 2013, you can use Web Essentials for that. It is not as it's not as good as what we have here, I think. That's the reason why I moved them out of Web Essentials to create their own thing, because it's kind of they're kind of larger extensions.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot more complex, and I want to separate those things and then do them right. I think that's what this is. That's basically doing it right. So it's better than 2013,
right.
but for 2013, there is a solution that will do this for you.
Okay.
Right. So add new file, quick package install works in 2013 too.
Right. Yeah. All right. Excellent.
Yep.
Thanks for coming on.
You're welcome.
Cool stuff. Hope you like that. Go download these. Take a look at the code. Let Mads know what you think.
Yeah.
And we'll see you next time on Visual Studio Toolbox.